Good morning, a beautiful song service, a beautiful Lord's Day, and it is a joy to be able to assemble here like we are today to worship our God, and we are truly thankful that you're here this morning as well. I know it's been a busy week. A lot of folks have been out of town. Many are still out of town. Some have made their way back, and we're thankful for your safety. I know summer's a very busy time of the year. A lot of people will be out of town throughout the summer, and we certainly wish everybody safety while they're away. We had a great week last week at Gulf Coast Bible Camp. In my opinion, it's the best week we've had there. It was well planned, well organized. I thought the theme was just wonderful. We talked about worship, and we spent each day on a different aspect of worship. Talked about prayer on Monday. I believe Tuesday we talked about singing. On Wednesday we emphasized giving. And then the last day we talked about the Lord's Supper. And certainly I believe everyone that was there learned a lot about what God expects us to do when we worship Him and why we worship Him the way that we do. And Will did just a great job organizing everything for our group, did a marvelous job. Appreciate all that he did in that regard. I'm going to try to mention those that maybe made a visible response while we were there. I think Olivia Hatcher did, Anna Hatcher did, Jasmine Bedgood, and then, of course, Jackie Wynn felt like that her baptism wasn't right way back in fifth grade when she obeyed the gospel. That's been bothering her, and she made the decision to make her calling and election sure. And so we commend her for that. I hope I didn't leave anybody out, Will, did I? Tony Bedgood. All right. What? Tony and Mark Bedgood both made their lives right too. Anybody else I leave out? Who did I leave out? Oh, that's good. Okay. All right. Okay, I wasn't there on the last night. I came back early on Thursday afternoon, so there was a couple that I missed. So anyhow, it was a great week, and we appreciate all that went. Tonight, our young men will be conducting the service. As you see, so far they've done this morning. I hope you'll be back then tonight at 5. You'll be, I think, very pleased with the things that you hear tonight. On the 10th of this week, June the 10th, Tom and Nell McGilberry will be celebrating 49 years of marriage. Tom told me this morning if he had to do it all over again, he would do it again with Sister Nell. She wasn't quite as confident in her statement about that as he was, but I know he'd do it all over again. We'll just have to wait and see how the years go by. This morning, for the next few minutes, I want us to talk about the meaning of Christian stewardship. You know, it's really impossible for a Christian to be happy in rendering service to God without really comprehending the meaning of Christian stewardship. What is a steward? Well, if you go to Webster's dictionary, Webster defines a steward as an officer or an employee in a large family or large estate to manage domestic concerns, to supervise servants, to collect rents or income, to keep accounts, an administrator, a supervisor, or a manager. Sometimes you may go into a store and you may want to talk to the manager about a problem. Well, that manager has to make sure that store runs smoothly. He doesn't own the store. He doesn't own the merchandise in the store, but it's his responsibility to make sure that that store runs smoothly, because, you see, he has to answer to the boss, to the one that owns the store. And so, from this definition from Webster, a steward is simply one that takes care of the material things that belong to somebody else. And so it's impossible for one to be a faithful Christian, unless that individual realizes that he's only a possessor and not the owner of the material things that God has given him. Now, the Christian has no option at all in regard to this matter of being a steward. Every one of us is a steward, whether we want to be or not. We may be a good steward, we may be a bad steward, but we are a steward. And on that last day, on the day of judgment, we're going to give an account to God for how we've used our time, how we used our talents, our money, the physical body that God has blessed us with. We will give an account for the way that we've used what God has blessed us with. And so with that in mind this morning, I want us to briefly consider the meaning of Christian stewardship. May I suggest, first of all, this morning, that a Christian steward always recognizes divine ownership. A Christian steward recognizes the fact that he's only a steward, and in reality, he does not own anything. You know, if a person could just somehow be able to convince himself that he owns no land, he has no money, he owns no possessions, for the simple reason that God claims divine ownership to everything, that individual would be much happier. Now, in your mind for a minute, picture a man, an individual that gets a job at a bank, or a rather large bank. Somehow, after a few months of employment at this bank, that individual is able to convince himself that he owns that bank. Someone says, well, how in the world could someone like that come to that conclusion? Well, I think he could come to that conclusion by using the same kind of reasoning that many members of the Lord's church use sometimes when they get into their mind the idea that they own the material things of life that they have, and they fail to recognize God as being the owner. Now, I want us to hear today with authority what the Bible says in regard to God's ownership. For example, in James 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, every good gift, every perfect gift comes from above. God's title to the whole universe and everything in it is clearly established in the Bible. In the beginning, Genesis 1 verse 1, God created the heaven and the earth. You see, not a single one of us had anything at all to do with creation, and yet sometimes it's strange to see people act as if they in fact did create the heavens and the earth. The psalmist said in Psalms chapter 24 and verse 1, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. In Haggai 2 and verse 8, God said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. In Psalms 50 and verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine. And God said, the cattle on a thousand hills. And I think we ought to look very closely and pay attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Where the Bible says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God? In other words, this body was given to you by God. And Paul says, you are not your own. What's he saying there? He's saying you don't even own the body that you have. God gave you that body. We hear people say, well, I've got the right to do what I want to. Or when it comes to abortion, you know, it's a woman's right to choose. Who says? God says you are not your own. You don't have the right to do with your physical body just what you please. Paul goes on to say, because of this, you need to realize that you were bought with a price. And therefore, you glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so we need to realize today that we are simply possessors and not owners. God owns everything. But as we think about the meaning of Christian stewardship, may I suggest as well today that a faithful Christian steward always honors God with his first fruits. He always gives God his very best. Now, a faithful steward will pay his landlord all that's due him. What would you think about a tenant that gathered his crop and instead of giving the landlord his rightful share, he just gives him a little sack of corn and says, thank you. And yet sometimes we as God's children even fail to say thank you. The Bible says in Proverbs 3 and verse 9, honor the Lord with your substance. And with the first fruits of all your increase, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. It's very interesting to me to go back to the Old Testament and to observe that when God's people were in a very low spiritual condition, when they were having their greatest spiritual decline, their most significant financial and material reverses, it was always when they failed to give to God liberally. Listen to Malachi 3 and verse 8. God says, will a man rob God? And yet you've robbed me. But they say, wherein have we robbed you? And the answer, in tithes and in offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And then God challenges the people. He says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and there shall be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there's not even going to be room enough to receive it. Now, it's just one of God's cardinal facts that when a steward gives to God off the top of his income, he is wonderfully blessed. Think about some of these examples from God's Word. In 2 Chronicles chapter 31 and verse 10, Azariah, the chief priest who was the house of Zadok, answered him saying, and notice what he said. He said, since the people begin to bring the contributions into the house of the Lord, what's the result here when people have been liberal in their giving to God? He says, we have eaten and had enough, and had plenty left, for the Lord has blessed his people so that we have this large amount left. Now, it's possible to give a lot to God and still be rejected. Not only must we give to God liberally, we need to give to God our very, very best. And yet the people in Malachi 1 and verse 13 said, what a weariness it is. You've snuffed, you've snorted at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what is taken by violence, you bring what is lame or what is sick, and this you bring as your offering? Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it and yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts. My name will be feared among the nations. God expects us to give him our very best. When Paul wrote the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In other words, we are to wisely use what God has entrusted into our care. You see, a Christian steward will always honor God with his first fruits. He'll always give his best. But not only will he honor God with his first fruits, but may I suggest that a Christian steward always understands that one day he will give an account. We must and we will give an account for the way that we make money, and we're going to give an account for the way that we spend our money. Now, some people act as if God had nothing at all to do with what they have. Some people act as if it's by their own power, their own ability, their own wisdom that they in and of themselves have what they have. So oftentimes we hear people make the statement, my house, my land, my cattle, my bonds, my crop, my barns, my bank account, my this and my that. And whenever I hear people talking along these lines, I always ask the question, whose are all these things going to belong to in 100 years? That's a question that we need to ask. You see, you do not own anything. And we have to learn this important truth to be a faithful steward. God owns everything. Everything I have because of God. And I'm just a steward. I'm just an entrustee. God has put these things into my care. And the fact that you cannot carry anything with you out of this world when you die, I think indicates the fact that you don't own anything. I heard of a man one time who loved money so much that he had everything he had turned into gold. His philosophy was, you know, gold is good in any country. And so he put all of his gold in his attic. And he told his family that when he died, as his spirit went through the attic, he would take his gold with him. A few days after he passed away, his son went up into the attic and he noticed the gold was still there. And he ran down and said, Mom, Dad forgot to get the gold. And Mom said, I told him, if he was going to get the gold when he died, he better put it down in the basement so he could get it where he was really going to go. But you see, that's so true. A person that does not understand the biblical concept of stewardship is going to be headed in the wrong direction when this life is over. Now, we need to listen to what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we shall carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, the basic necessities of life, let us be content. But they that will be rich fall into a temptation and a snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition, for the love of money is the root of all evil. which while some have coveted after, they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You see, the desire for material things will lead to spiritual ruin and destruction. One day we're going to give an account of our stewardship on the day of judgment. As stewards, we're going to have to give an account of our time. Life and time are things that we are to use wisely. We didn't create life or time. Time is as sacred as life itself. And God made every single day of our lives precious with opportunities for speaking a kind word or lending a helping hand or doing some Christ-like deed or service. Because time is so brief, because it's so uncertain, that makes time all that much more sacred. And I think the misuse of time perhaps is one of the most besetting sins that Christians are guilty of today. That's why we're told in Colossians 4 and verse 5 and Ephesians 5 and verse 16 to redeem the time. You can't do with time like you can with money. You can save money for a future time, a future date. But time, once it's spent, it's gone forever. You cannot save it for a future day like you can money. But not only are we going to give an account of our time, we're going to give an account of our influence as well. We cannot avoid the fact that we have influence on other people. No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. The Bible says in Romans 14 and verse 7. All of us have the tremendous power of influence. People watch us. People that we don't even think about hear our words. They watch our actions. They observe our conduct. We make an impact on the lives of other people. And so we need to ask ourselves, what kind of influence am I in my home? As a parent, as a husband, a father, a mother, a child? What kind of influence am I in my business where I work among my coworkers? What kind of influence do I possess here even in the church? What kind of influence do I have at school? How do people view me when they think of me? Am I an influence for good? Am I a positive influence? Or am I a negative influence? The Bible says we're to be the salt of the earth. That we're to be the light of the world, Matthew 5 and 13. That we are to let our light so shine before men that others will see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But we're also stewards not only of our influence, we're stewards of the gospel. We live in a world that's lost in sin. God has entrusted into our care the good news of salvation. If we don't carry that good news to other people, who's going to do it? Paul said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Your friends that are lost, your neighbors that have no hope, your family members today that are without God, if you don't take that responsibility seriously and teach them the gospel, who's going to do it if you don't? God has put this into our hands. He's entrusted the gospel into our care. Into our hands, the gospel is given. Into our hands is given the light. Haste, let us carry God's precious message, guiding the erring back to the right. As a steward, one day, we're going to give an account. But in closing quickly, Let's ask the question, just who is a steward? Now, there's a threefold duty of a steward. Number one, make all that you can. I want to write these down. Number two, you need to save all that you can. And number three, you need to give all that you can. There was an old miser one time that was hearing this preacher preach on this very subject. His first point was, make all you can. And that old miser said, amen. The preacher's second point was, save all you can. That old miser said, I've never known a preacher who knew so much and could say it with such a pleasing personality. And then the preacher made his third point, give all you can, and the old guy just passed out cold there on the floor. Now, the Bible teaches us that it is the duty of a good steward to make all that he can. We have to use our talents and our abilities. You folks, youngsters, you're going to college one day. You say you are. You're trying to prepare yourself in a field of study. You want to do your best and make all that you can. The five-talent man, the two-talent man in Matthew chapter 25 were commended because they made all that they could. The one-talent man was condemned because he did not use his talent. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing that is good, so that he may be able to save for his future, so that he may be able to leave a lot of money for his family. Doesn't say that, does it? The Bible says, let him labor so that he may have to give to him who needs. It's an honorable thing, isn't it, for a person to work and to make money. God expects us to be a good steward. There's not anything wrong with a person working and making all that he has the ability to do so. And certainly God commends slothfulness. Make all you can. Number two, a Christian needs to save all that he can. We know that God expects us to use what he's given us wisely. And I believe it's a correct observation to say that the thrifty people in the Lord's church probably support 90% of the Lord's work. Now, I'm not talking about a miser here. I'm talking about somebody that is thrifty. And there's a big difference in somebody who may be a miser and somebody who uses their money wisely. It's certainly not wrong for an individual to make provision for his family, to plan for the future. That's something that we all need to do. We need to use what God has given us wisely. In fact, the person who makes it a practice to save is going to be a happy person in this life, and God will be pleased with him. And so a Christian steward makes all he can, saves all he can, but lastly, he gives all that he can. The Bible says, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings or collections when I come. When we give to God, we're giving to our Maker. We're not giving to the church. We're not giving to the elders. We're giving to God. Now, all members of the Lord's church today, if we were really true to this principle, I think we could evangelize the world in a very short time. Ask yourself today, why do you want to raise? It's not a good time probably to be asking for one, though, with the economy the way it is. But, you know, why do you want to raise? Do you want one for your own selfish reasons? Do you want to raise for your own selfish purposes, or do you want to raise so that you might do more for the Lord. We need to make it more of our business to try to do good for other people and to focus on the needs of others. I know the statement was made at camp. I forgot which night. I think it was Wednesday night. The subject of giving was being discussed. And this particular youth minister that was speaking that night made the statement that sometimes after the collection plate went by his youth group, you might be lucky to have enough money to buy a milkshake. You see, all of us work, don't we? All of us are blessed materially. We make all that we can. We may even save all that we can. But are we giving all that we can? Now, this idea of being a faithful steward is not an optional matter. One day we're going to stand before God. One day we're going to give an account for what God has given us. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're going to sing a song of encouragement at this time, and it may be today that there's some here who've never obeyed the gospel. God has given you His word. God has given you everything you need in order to be saved. He sent His Son Jesus to suffer and bleed and died for you. Now the question for you is, what are you going to do about that? You believe in God and in Jesus Christ with all of your heart, don't you? Will you not in that faith today, then repent of your sins? That just simply means changing your life, resolving to live for the Lord for the rest of your life, knowing you're not going to be perfect, knowing you're not going to be sinless, but you're going to serve the Lord. And then be willing to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and then to be baptized into the blood, into the body of Jesus Christ, where His blood was shed. And you can leave this building today forgiven, your sins washed away by the blood of the Lamb, and you can have the hope of eternal life when this life is over.